गणानान्त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमुष्टवस्तम ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत शृण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनम् श्रीमहागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। आत्मस्वरूप बंधुगण, सो लेट अस से द 10th वर्स। प्रयाण काले मनसा चलेन भक्त्या युक्तः योगबलेन चैव भ्रुवोर्मध्ये प्राणमावेश्य सम्यक् सतम् परम् पुरुषमुपैति दिव्यम्। प्रयाण काले, सी गीता डिस्क्राइब्स डेथ इन टू वेज, वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग वे ऑफ डिस्क्राइबिंग डेथ। People take death as something horrible, abhorrent, and they become aghast even at the idea of death, as if such a thing never is happening anywhere. We never know anything about it. Suddenly it happened here. Of all the universe, only here only it happened. So like that, people look at death like that. For a jnani, death and birth and death are just events. It is a child born and there an old man died. Old man or whatever. After birth, from the next moment onwards, he is already old only. He is old 1 moment old, 1 minute old. So like that. So there is no formulation that is so and so life form should live this long. Who gave that formulation? Only our imagination is like that. Therefore, birth and death are like the obverse and reverse of a coin. And what begins ends, and what ends begins. Therefore, if you learn to see the end in the beginning, and beginning in the end, that is the intimation of immortality. So therefore, So we have to look at it like that. Sri Krishna sees like that. He sees death in the birth and birth in the death. He sees like that. Jatasya hi, here is a life form born. Jatasya. Then immediately he sees death in it. Dhruvo mrutyuhu. If you say this to anybody who is celebrating birthday party, he will not come anywhere near you a second time. Because we should not think of mrityu and all that. We should become blind to mrityu and also birth and birth only. Birth, birth, birth only. No mrityu at all. But Krishna sees the end in the beginning. He sees death in the birth. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu. And even in death he sees the birth again. Dhruvam janma mrutasya cha. That is how he looks at it. So, because he sees the immortality, the immortal, the reality, the beginningless ever begins, the endless ever ends, the motionless is ever moving. That is how he sees. And that is immortality. And therefore, for him, if you ask him to describe death, he will describe it in some very simple terms. He doesn't attach too much of sentimental hype to it. Just he describes it. It is a journey, prayana kale. So, that is how he describes it. In another place, he described it as, so prayana kale means you are going on a journey. So, no, now he will not return. Who told? He will return. He is going on a journey to heaven. Having done a lot of punya, he is going to heaven, on a journey to heaven. So like coming to US on a visitor visa. that is all it is. And so if you come on a visitor visa here, they will ask you to show the return ticket in the airport itself. The immigration guy asks you to show. Do you have the return ticket? Yes, I have. Okay, let me see. In fact, in India we have some agents, they won't purchase, they won't arrange a one-way ticket to you. They will give only two-way ticket, that's all, no one-way ticket. Because the government asked them never issue one-way tickets, only issue two-way ticket. That is how the government asked them. And it works well for us also, because two-way ticket is one and a half times, the two times one-way ticket. So there is a saving in it also. Anyway, so that is how it is, prayana. That is what it is. Death is like that only. Only thing is, here the person goes and the same person comes. Whereas in death the same person is not coming. You think so, that is not correct. Because the forms are ever crumbling. The same person never comes back. A much heftier person will come back, having gone to America. All kinds of ice creams and chocolates, etc. he eats. So rice and all that we can eat back in India. Here we should only eat chocolate and ice cream. So like that he is on an expedition of chocolate and ice cream eating, and so he goes back very hefty. Same person never goes back. Never the same person. So we assume like that memory plays tricks with us. The body is never the same. It is like a river. River is never the same river. You take a dip, you dip your head thrice, you have dipped the head in three different rivers, not in the same river. So that is how it is. It is the law of impermanence of forms. No form is permanent. It is not that it will remain intact up to a point and then it will crumble. No. It is even now it is crumbling. Therefore, it is all a journey. There is nothing like permanent here. It's just a journey. And so, here he is a person, he is going to heaven. Having done a lot of punya, he is going to heaven. And then, there he will bhuktva bhogan, some enjoyments he will enjoy there. And then, kshine punya martyalokam vishanti. Once the visa is over, punya is the visa, that is over, martyalokam vishanti, he will come back. So, why to make such a huge deal about it? It is nothing, it is just a journey, prayana kale. This is one, so you have to remove, it is like what we call in India, you have the tire all bloated. Now just remove the air from the tire. So that kind of thing it is. Just remove air from the balloon, it becomes very condensed, nothing is there in it. You put a lot of air in it, it looks this big. Remove all the air, puncture it and remove all the air. And see what it is. It is just some silly plastic piece lying in a corner. Like that, take death. It is a huge balloon. Lot of sentiment is pumped into it. Just remove all that. Nothing in it. It is like birth only. Here is a child born, there an old guy died. Both are one and the same. So that way. This is the vision. Prayana kala. Having said that, I will say the other thing also. Bhagavan described death in a different context as change of attire. So yesterday's clothes, they are no more worth wearing. If they are okay, then you can wear, but they are not worth wearing. All torn out and dirty and not worth wearing. The clothes, the particular shirt is not able to protect the body from the elements anymore. It is all torn and all that, all patchwork. So like that, a stage comes when the body is all patchwork. Knee is patch, heart is patch, valves are patch, eyesight is already patch anyway. So everything is patchwork. So even the hair is patchwork. Everything is patch from A to Z. So how long will you hold on to this patchwork-like shirt? Throw it and get a new one. That is what death is. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. Navani grunhati naroparani. In fact, if you throw this patchwork-like shirt and put on a new shirt, that is the time for having a small celebration. If not big, a small celebration we can have. Because he has put on a new shirt, poor guy wearing a very old shirt for so long. Enough is enough. Put on a new shirt. That is the celebration. There is nothing to become sad about it. That's why in Hrishikesh, when a sadhu dies, they celebrate. Ananda, ananda, ananda. Because this bondage is over. The whole nuisance of securing bhiksha and keeping the body and giving medicine to it, all this problem is over. So it is an occasion for joy. Prayana kala is like that. So first, all the asubha feeling, oh, it is inauspicious, this and that, should be removed from the mind. A student of Gita has no right to complain about death and all that. No sentiment. Just a drop, because sentimentality is not wisdom. So we are accustomed to too much of sentimentality. That better to get rid of some of it and make things a little more practical and meaningful. So, therefore, death is prayana kala. Okay? Agreed. We will not complain about death anymore. Now you tell what is the next point. So the next point is, at the time of journey, you have to make a prayer. So, in fact, did you ever meet an orthodox Vedic pandit or a scholar ready to go on a journey? You should have seen him. He will be saying prayers continuously for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he will be saying prayers. The bus has come, but the person is still saying prayers. And he is entering into the bus, the conductor asks, where will you go, how much, where I have to give 1 rupee. So he is still muttering prayers and puts 1 rupee in his hand. The time for prayers. Because that is how they live. Very nice. So prayerful life. But then, at the time of death, one has to die in meditation. That is the message of the Gita. In the Ashtamadhyaya we are. So, Shri Krishna gives, if you ask Shri Krishna's advice, he will say like this. The person is on the deathbed. Now it is time to die away. He knows. Others may not know. People around him, they don't know. So they are just sentimental, nothing more than that. And sometimes they create some unnecessary confusion also. And there is a lot of indiscipline also. And it adds to the problem. So therefore, forget about all that. The doctors, they too don't know. They just give some kind of uncommitted statement. He may live for a few more weeks, like that they say. So nobody will give a commitment because nobody knows it. It is all in the hands of a higher power. Therefore, but there is one person who knows it, and that is the person lying on the bed. He knows it. Death can never escape him. In fact, death will come and consult him. So, dear sir, I am here. Are you ready? So, why should I be ready? No, you better be ready. So, okay, now you be ready. So, just out of goodwill I said like that, be ready. Now we are going. Okay, it is inevitable. Yes, inevitable. You have another 5 minutes time. So, be ready. So, he says, okay, I am ready. So, they're gone. Something like that. He knows. He gets a notice also. In fact, there is a discussion whether a person dies in coma, then what? It is coma for us, not for him. I mean, we look at it as coma, but for him, no coma. He gets the notice, another 5 minutes. So he comes out of the coma within himself and he leaves the body. A conscious being alone leaves the body. This is the statement. You see, you have to take it from the description of the Shastra only, right? So nobody can give you first-hand information. So this is taken like that. Doesn't matter. Somehow it is described like that. A conscious being alone leaves the body. So in Veda, a statement is there to that effect. Tasmāt svapantam prāṇāna jahati. Jahati is plural. Jahati is not bhavati like. Jahati, jahitaha, jahati, plural. So pranaha svapantam na jahati. The five pranas, they won't leave the body while the person is asleep. Because leaving the body, it is, you see, you are sleeping on the railway platform. The express comes and leaves without your sleep being disturbed. Possible. but not this express. Sometimes you are deeply asleep on the railway. You know, when the AP Express comes, it is as if an indication of an earthquake. Something like that it comes. That, like that it comes. Still the person could remain asleep. But not at the time of this thing. He will be woken up with a start. Now he knows, I am about to die. He knows. Okay, having known that death is impending, what should he do? He should sit up. Should not lie down anymore. He should sit up. And then what should he do? Sthira sukhamasanam. Sit erect. Samam kaya shirogrivam. No fear, no favor, nothing. Just sit erect. Whatever erect means in that situation, whatever sitting up means, he sits up. And asanam. So, omitya kaksharam. There is a verse. Vyaharan mamanusmaran yaf prayatityajandeham. Like that. You have to say Om. We are coming to that. To say Om, you should sit erect. Sit erect, not like this. Om means it is straight, it is. The power moving up. So sit erect. Nabhi, from Nabhi it starts upward movement. Udana. So, Om. Bas, Om. It doesn't come back again. That is how one has to die. So what happens if one dies like that? What happens? Om, what is Om, you know? Om is Brahma. Om is Ishvara. There is nothing else. Om is the Brahman. Now, he says Om at the time of death. He is in the Om, Omkara. He will merge in the whole. He will merge in Ishvara. He will not come back. Over. For him, this cycle of births and deaths is over. That way one has to die. Okay, very good. Now we got the message. At the time of death we will do that. So till then we will, till then we will have some parties, this and that, some celebrations we'll have. And so at the time of death we will do that. It is like saying like this, I will have immunity when the infections come. At that time I will have immunity. So before that I no need for immunity and all that. When the bacteria come and invade, I will get some immunity and put inside, and so bacteria will remain away. Can you do that? No. If you need immunity, you have to do it on a daily basis. You have to work on it continuously. Daily exercises you have to do. So when you do exercises daily, then they say there are chemicals called endorphins or whatever. They get liberated in this system, and then the immune system remains intact. And you keep it ready and intact. Now comes the infection. The immune system is ready to fight it out and defeats the infection. That way it has to work. You cannot become stronger just before the attack is about to happen. Therefore, the formula is like this. To think of Ishvara at the time of death, you have to think, you have to contemplate upon Ishvara whole life. That is the idea. Then what about taking food and doing a few things? Okay, you may do those few things. Roti, kapda, makan is exception. That much is exception. You can take care of a few things like a family person or whatever. A few jobs will be there to be done, so a few duties, you are welcome to all that. Other than that, you have to spend a life in contemplation. Then you will be able to spend 5 minutes in contemplation, that 5 minutes. It is like going to the interview. So, IBM company interview. The person knows that IBM company will come to the campus for campus interviews. So, he knows it. That's why he has joined that engineering college, by paying some extra donation. Because they knew beforehand that IBM people will come there for campus interviews. That is how they advertise also. IBM comes for campus interview in our college. Okay. So we want to join it. Then the donation is doubled now. So he has joined like that. He is preparing for 5 years ahead he is preparing. And then he joins and studies day and night. There is no Sunday, there is no holidays. There is no question of summer holidays, this and that. 5 years, non-stop, he applies himself to this study. You have to see these young guys studying, my God. They give all their life to it. Total dedication. You have to see it to believe it. I have seen it, I am telling you. In India, we see that. Here I don't see because I don't move across that community. Maybe here also there are there in students, high school and college. They must be there. I don't know here, but in India I see that all the time. There are vagabonds everywhere, but total application, they study. And now the IBM comes. The IBM officers come. Do you know how much interview time they take? 3 minutes. 3 to 5 minutes. So this person goes in. 3 to 5 minutes interview is over, he is selected. So he worked 5 years to face that 3 minutes. That is how it works. So prayana kale. Therefore, whatever is described for prayana kala, you conveniently note it down and keep it aside to be taken up only at the time of prayana kala, not like that. It is to be taken up now. Starting from now you have to take up. What is that? So, dhyanam. You have to meditate. It is all dhyanam. So, okay, meditation is done with what? What is the tool for meditation? The instrument, tool, manasa. With the mind. Everything is with the mind only. There is nothing doing in Atma. There is no doing in Atma. Atma is all being only, no doing. So doing is in Prakruti. All doing in Prakruti. And mind comes under Prakruti category. Therefore, meditation as a discipline, it is for the mind. None for Atma. No disciplines for Atma. Just make the mind ready, Atma reveals itself. Over. The job is done. So manasa. So the entire discipline is for the mind. Okay, what kind of mind you need? Achalena. So that is the problem. Achalena. You need a mind which is not moving. Means achala. Chala is very active mind. So this active mind means, in a negative sense I am using the word, for doing some work, you need an active mind. So suppose you want to cook some nice food, you need a mind which is active. So I am not saying that kind of active. That active is opposed to dull. Right? When you say active, this active is opposed to dull. And it is also opposed to something else. Active, when you say it is opposed to calm. Okay? Now, when I say active mind, in the context of dhyana, I do not mean the active that is opposed to dull. I mean the active that is opposed to calm. You need a calm mind for dhyana, not an active mind. So when it comes to dhyana, the activity of the mind, it becomes an obstacle. It is like sleep. You want to sleep. You work very nicely on the computer, software. So go on working with the keyboard and this and monitor, keyboard. The whole world is condensed into two things, the keyboard and the monitor. Nothing else exists in the world, only these two. And so you go on doing, now creating this, create a very active mind. So night 9 o'clock, now still mind is active and so work is going on. 9:30, now. Now the mind complains against itself. It is like example, take it in the right spirit. It is like some skin problem. So you leave it alone, so much of itching sensation. You scratch it, pain, very painful. Don't scratch it. Terrific itching sensation. Scratch it, pain. What is that? That is the mind, I tell you. Right? That is how the mind is. So, if you don't work anymore, The mind is frightened. No, no, something more to be accomplished, something more, something more. This is called karma vasana. So mind is addicted to work. It is not that there is some work to be done, therefore the mind is actively doing that work. Not like that, it is addicted to work. You know, the other day we were reading about addiction. Addiction is defined as that thing which you desire while fully knowing that it is harmful to you. Now, this mind, you know that this kind of hyperactivity of the mind, I am describing the negative situation, I am describing the other extreme, so that the positive situation gets described by itself. Now you will know what is the right thing. Once we know clearly what is the wrong thing, the right thing is clearly understood. That is the method of teaching, anvaya and vitreka, nishedha mukha. So nishedha first and anvaya later. So, therefore, when the mind is hyperactive, it is very painful to the mind. Therefore, the mind wants to be more and more active, full well knowing that this kind of excessive activity is very painful to itself. It's an addiction. That's why it is an addiction. So, work becomes an addiction for people. So, people who have, for whom the work became an addiction, they end up in insomnia. They will not be able to sleep. So, the other day, I was in a hotel in Washington. I went for a conference. So, that night I stayed in a hotel. I entered the hotel. The first thing that I saw is a spray. It is just put there. It is all complimentary. So, you need not pay anything for it. So, a spray and a CD. These two. So, I am a village bum. So, these things are very attractive things. What are these? So I wanted to know what are these very attractive and that too free. So we have a proverb in India, if it comes free, the person is ready to drink even phenyl. So like that. Because free means attractive. So if you have to pay something, means we don't want, keep it away. If it is free, then let us see what it is. So I saw. It is a lavender that you have to spray on the bed sheet before sleeping so that it will make sleep more comfortable. Instead of tossing this way, that way, you will go smoothly into sleep by spraying this lavender. That is one. So that I have put in the bag. So free, you know. Okay, number one. Number two, a CD. CD, free. What is this CD? The sleep music. So put this music on. They don't give the player. That is the problem. You have to carry this player with you. So some MP3 player you need. That is MP3. And put this into that MP3 and put it to the ears. Then it will start music. So that music, it will go on and it will help you to sleep. So then he declares, all hotels provide only bed to sleep. Whereas we not only provide the bed to sleep, but also we will help you to sleep. That means the person needs help to sleep. My God. We are just waiting for an opportunity to sleep. Whereas this guy needs help to sleep. Very. And the name of the hotel is Executive Inn. That is the name of the hotel. So that means all these executives, poor guys, they need so much assistance to sleep. No surprise that the work has become an addiction to these people. Work has become an addiction. So they don't know how to stop work. The other day there was an article in New York Times and one of our students has cut it and gave me. So I appreciate it. The article is, this is the topic. Some of these people who have become billionaires overnight, these tycoons. So 3 years back he started in a garage something called My Face or Your Tube in a garage. And now his worth is $550 million. Age 32. Young tycoon. Now he doesn't know what to do. He cannot stop working. He tells he cannot stop working. He wants to stop working, but he cannot stop. Now what for should I work? He doesn't know. Why are you working? I don't know. I am working by default. No, like computer. Everything default only. He is working by default. For no reason he is working. He doesn't know why he is working. And so, this is called karma vasana. I assure you, as long as you believe that there is a lot of work yet to be done by you, things yet to be accomplished, as long as that notion is fixed in the mind, you are not eligible for meditation. In this sense, eligible means it's not that I could give marks and make you pass or fail. That is not the point. The point is, meditation, you forget about it, it doesn't work. Because what are the factors that make the mind hyperactive? That is a topic, and I am addressing that topic. One of the important factors that make the mind hyperactive, that make the position of the mind very untenable. The mind wants rest. It is very much fatigued. It wants rest, but it is addicted to work, and therefore it cannot take rest. One should never fall into that trap. That karma vasana, that makes mind hyperactive, we should avoid it. Achalena. That is one thing. Then the another thing. You see, the situation is like this. Meditation is a discipline. You do it for half an hour, maximum half an hour. You need not do it that much also. We conduct a meditation session 30 minutes because it's an optimum time. At home, really, even if you do meditation for 15-20 minutes with some good absorption, you are doing perfectly all right. It is not the length that is important. You cannot sit for a lengthy time for various reasons. You have some other works to do and all that. So, it is the time, quality time is required for meditation. 15 minutes or 20 minutes. 30 minutes is really optimum. You need not increase it at all. 31st minute is not necessary. I mean, if you have a habit of doing for 1 hour, God bless you, continue it. You need not reduce. But I am telling those who have smaller intervals of meditation time in their daily practice, they are doing perfectly all right. Because it is the quality time that is important, not the length of time that you sit. Just sit and daydream. My son is like that, my father is like that, my sister is like this. That is daydreaming, you know. So, not like that. So, achalena. Yeah. So, the mind, which is achala means, you know, what is the translation of achala? Immobile. That is achala. Calm and quiet. Manasa achalena. So, that is how the meditation has to happen. The silence of the mind. No mind is meditation. That is another way of looking at it. No mind. But not sleep. Sleep is not meditation. Sleep is also no mind only. But we are talking of a wakeful state situation. No mind is meditation. So, they say calm mind. What is meant by calm mind? What is the meaning of calm mind? You know, shall I tell you what is a calm mind? You are perfectly alert, totally alert, but not lost in thoughts. That is called a calm mind. A person who is lost in thoughts is lost in this world, is lost in this life, is lost in spirituality also. So, you should not lose yourself in thoughts. Thought is not a problem. I'm not saying anything against thought. Thought is a tool. It is a tool. And if we identify with the tool and make the tool, convert the tool into a tormentor sitting inside, tormenting me continuously, tormentor. What is this tormentor? The hyperactive mind is the tormentor. So now this mind, which is supposed to be a tool, instead of helping me when I need, you need a mind to cognize things. That is the tool. Tool means instrument. Instrument of cognition. That is what mind is. Nothing more, nothing less. But then the tool becomes a tormentor because of its hyperactivity. What kind of a thing it is? We are doing a big mistake in life. That is not the way to conduct things. The mind should be sattva, not rajasa. Achala, chala is a rajasic mind, hyperactive mind. సో వాట్ ఆర్ ది కాజెస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ హైపర్ యాక్టివిటీ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్? సో వన్ ఈజ్ కర్మ వాసన. సో అనదర్ కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ది హైపర్ యాక్టివిటీ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ ఈజ్ రాగద్వేష. సో వాట్ వీ డూ ఈజ్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఎ టూల్, టూల్ ఆఫ్ కాగ్నిషన్. సో టు నో దట్ దిస్ ఈజ్ ఎ రెడ్ ఫ్లవర్, యు నీడ్ మైండ్ యాజ్ ఎ టూల్. బట్ టు దెన్ ప్రాజెక్ట్ దిస్ ఈజ్ బ్యూటిఫుల్, ఓకే దిస్ ఈజ్ బ్యూటిఫుల్, వాట్ అబౌట్ దిస్ sitting by this side, what about this, it is ugly, this is beautiful, this is ugly. Now you are using the mind already beyond its what is called they give a name to it, beyond its job, okay, yeah, beyond its job description. So you are not supposed to divide. The mind should is not supposed to divide things into the opposites. This is good, that is bad. This is friend, that is foe. This is beautiful, that is ugly. So you already started using the tool for a wrong purpose. And now, this kind of division, and dividing and opposing, first divide, make it two, and then oppose each other. That is how the opposites are created. First divide and then oppose. So this operation, when it is done continuously, so now you are in the domain of ragadvesha. And so the ragadveshas, they pile up. Indriyasya indriyasya arthe ragadveshau vyavasthitau. So even as you see ragadvesha, beautiful, ugly, I like it, I hate it. Then indriya, every indriya, hear sounds, somebody is speaking, yeah, foe, I hate him. Somebody else is speaking, yeah, my beloved, I love him. So that way, ragadvesha. Smell, some fragrance, oh, this is a jasmine. I don't like jasmine, I only like rose. Aurangzeb used, or not Aurangzeb, Jahangir used rose, therefore I also use rose. Where is Jahangir and where is all imagination? So, Aurangzeb is my mistake. Aurangzeb never used all these things. He is another kind of guy. So, it is the Jahangir problem. And so anyway, so rose. I don't care much for jasmine. For me it is rose. What is that? So why should you care for rose or jasmine? Let them remain where they are. Why should you bother about them? So this is how ragadvesha, indriyasya indriyasya artha. First create ragadvesha. Then tayorna vasham agachet. We become the slaves to them. So we become paravasha. The person becomes a paravasha. He is in the command of the ragadveshas. Now the mind is no more in my command. I am in the command of the mind. It is like the tail, the dog doesn't wag the tail anymore. It is the tail now wagging the entire dog. That is how the situation is. So once the ragadveshas are fixed in the mind, now you look at the world. You are not looking at the real world. You assume that you are looking at the real world. No. You are looking at the world through the net of ragadvesha. While just put a net around you, net of ragadvesha, and from within the net, look at the world. So what you see is what the net shows, not what is. What is, you see, you just think about it. What is, we don't know. If we know what is, we get liberated then and there. What is, we don't know. We only know what the net of desires and fears show us. You wake up, me, my home, my family. Now, is that what is? Is that what is? But it appears, yes, that is what is. I have entered into a topic there. So, it looks like that. But that is not what is. What is something. Something other than what we imagine. So we look at it from the abhimana point of view, ahankara, mamakara. మమ నమమ రాగాద్వేష. దెర్ఫోర్ ఎనీవే సో దట్ ఈస్ బిసైడ్స్ ది పాయింట్. ది పాయింట్ ఈజ్ యాజ్ ది రాగద్వేషాస్ గెట్ క్రిస్టలైజ్డ్ అండ్ స్ట్రెంగ్థెన్డ్ ఇన్ ది మైండ్, దట్ మైండ్ విల్ నెవర్ నో పీస్ ఎనీ మోర్. దెర్ఫోర్ సో ఏ మైండ్ విచ్ ఈజ్ స్ట్రాంగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ రాగద్వేష, ఇట్ కెనాట్ రిమైన్ కామ్, ఇట్ కంటిన్యూస్ టు బి చల చల చల. సో కామ ఏష క్రోధ ఏష రజోగుణ సముద్భవ, దట్ ఈస్ ది డిస్కషన్ అట్ ది పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ చల ఓన్లీ. సో చంచలం హి మనః పార్థ. సో హీ ఆస్క్స్ వై ది మైండ్ ఈజ్ సో ఫికల్, వై ఈజ్ సో డైగ్రెసివ్, వాట్ ఈస్ ది రీజన్? సో శ్రీకృష్ణ సేస్ కామ ఏష క్రోధ ఏష, లైక్ దట్ హీ బిగిన్స్ ధ్యాయతో విషయాన్ పుంస, దట్ టాపిక్ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్. సో దిస్ వే ద మైండ్ ఈజ్ మేడ్ ఫికిల్ అండ్ డైగ్రెసివ్ బై ది ఇంటెన్స్ రాగద్వేష. దెర్ఫోర్ వాట్ వీ డూ, యు నో సమ్ పీపుల్ వాట్ దే డూ, దే సే వీఆర్ డూయింగ్ యోగా. ఓకే, వాట్ ఆర్ యూ డూయింగ్? సో వీ డూ వెరీ కుంభక మెడిటేషన్, ఇన్హేల్ ఫుల్లీ, హోల్డ్ ఇట్ దేర్ for 30 seconds and then exhale slowly and fully, hold it again outside bahih kumbhaka 20 seconds. It is a very powerful practice of meditation, pranayama. So when you do that, the mind, it just doesn't move at all. It is like a rogue horse tied with ropes, both legs, and brought down and held under the grip of 4 or 5 people. The rogue horse just doesn't move 1 inch. That the mind is like rogue horse. So use this kind of kumbhaka, this, that, and hold it back. How long? 15 minutes, 30 minutes, over. Oh my, over. So now you come out of it, get up. Now kama, krodha, lobha, moha, they just take over. Is this yoga? That is not yoga. Okay, that is also yoga, but that is not the real spirit of yoga. So what are you doing? You are employing a method, a physical method. Pranayama is a physical method. It is like a physical exercise. Really speaking, that is what it is. So you are employing a physical technique. Of course it is very subtle, no doubt about it. Yet it has the elements of, it is physical. So you use a physical technique to suppress, to pull down this roguish mind and keep it quiet with heavy pressure upon it for 20 minutes. And then it is like you open the soda bottle. Now it comes out with all its vigor. So it pops up with a terrific vigor. And so you touch this yogi and go and say anything to him. He is a most furious yogi, very angry and all that. So what a distortion it is. The distortion has its origin in this. Namely, without addressing the ragadveshas first, without having an understanding of ragadvesha, in fact, before a person practices pranayama, he should study Gita first. Then only pranayama. Then he will understand, because Gita teaches pranayama. Sparshan krutva bhirbahyams chikshushchaiva antare bhruvoh pranapanau samau krutva nasabhyantarajarinau. Gita has everything. But then Gita presents pranayama in the context of a marvelous wisdom. Now by the time you understand Gita and sit for pranayama, even if 10 minutes you do, that is more than enough. You need not do this more the stronger kumbhaka and all that, not necessary. Just anuloma viloma is enough. There is so much marvelous absorption and all that. So everything has to be practiced in the proper perspective. That perspective is very important. Therefore, without bringing the level of ragadveshas down, just practicing some powerful method of controlling the mind, it doesn't help much. But I tell you, let me say this. Any practice you do is good than sleeping and wasting time. Any practice is good. Akaranam mandakaranam shreya. Not doing any yoga compared with that, doing some yoga at some time is better. Because sadhana is always valuable. We should not say anything against sadhana. Okay, today he is not controlling ragadvesha, he is doing pranayama. Hopefully tomorrow he will control ragadvesha and continue pranayama. We have to hope like that. So because the person is able to sit like this, that itself is a blessing. Anyway, so having said that, ragadvesha have to be brought down. The level of ragadvesha must be brought down. So how to do that? How to do that? Achalena, you said easily. How to do that? So Sri Krishna said, abhyasena cha kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. You have to practice two things simultaneously. So after retirement I will take care of the ragadvesha. Now I will do pranayama. That way it doesn't work. Both must be done now only, or both after retirement. One way or the other. So both should go in tandem. One is abhyasa, the discipline. Morning half an hour meditation, evening half an hour meditation. That is abhyasa. Okay. That people are willing to do that they do, because that is the easy part of it. Then comes the tough part of it, that is vairagya. Vairagya is dispassion, means no raga, no dvesha, that is vairagya. No raga, no dvesha. In fact, you avoid raga, dvesha will avoid by itself. It will run away by itself. Because if the person is not a viragi, he doesn't have the basic qualification for doing dhyanam. What to speak, even for asana he is not qualified. Because raga is all becoming, viraga is all being, asana is being, sthira sukham asanam. So even for putting an asana and derive the best benefit out of asana, you must be a viragi. So vairagya, dispassion. You see, vairagya is not something which we have to enforce upon us. We should not look at it like that. Vairagya is joy. It is a most pleasant thing. I tell you, night 8 o'clock. Now there is some rice and some rasam and a small amount, a small pickle and some buttermilk is there. Only you are the only person in a solitude. Just sit and read something and do meditation and sleep. That is one case scenario. Another case scenario. 8 o'clock night, take the car and go to Manhattan, 9 o'clock, enter the party, bar, dance, nice dinner with 5 courses, 12:30 you are still eating something and dancing and doing something at the other. Now, which is painful and which is pleasant, you tell me? Between these two cases, which is painful and which is pleasant? I tell you, the second case is the worst pain it is. It is all pain from here to see, it is all pain. Whereas the first case scenario, light meal, nice reading, some prayer and meditation, and drifting into a dreamless sleep. That is heaven, swargam. You have swargam here itself. In your room you have swargam. So, vairagya is not painful. We make it sound a dirty word or some undesirable thing. Not now, this is fellow already started vairagya. So not like that. You have to love it. You have to befriend it. Because vairagyam eva abhayam sarvam vastu bhayanvitam bhuvin runam vairagyam eva abhayam. Bhartruhari, by experience he says that. So Bhartruhari has got a lot of worldly experience and then he became a viragi. And he says, in this world, whatever you pursue, all these pleasures and pursuits, they are full of insecurity and fear. Sarvam vastu bhayanvitam. Okay, if everything is fraught with fear, then what is it that has no fear in it? Yes, vairagyam eva abhayam. There is one thing which dissolves all fear and which keeps you fearless. And freedom. Fearlessness is freedom. Insecurity and fear is bondage it is. Very painful. Freedom. What is the freedom? Vairagya meva bhayam. Vairagya. ఆల్ ఫ్రీడమ్. సో దట్ వైరాగ్య. నౌ ద మైండ్ ఈస్ రెడీ ఫర్ మెడిటేషన్. మనసా అచలేన భక్త్యా. ద మైండ్ హ్యాజ్ సమ్ మైండ్ రిలేటెడ్ థింగ్స్ ఐఎమ్ సేయింగ్. ఐ కెన్ ఫినిష్ ది వెర్స్ అండ్ గో టు ది నెక్స్ట్ వెర్స్, దట్ ఆల్సో ఐ కెన్ డూ. బట్ ఐ థాట్ పీపుల్ నీడ్ టు రిలేట్ టు దిస్ మైండ్ థింగ్ సో దట్ లైవ్స్ బికమ్ ఏ లిటిల్ ఈజీ, బికాజ్ అవర్ లైవ్స్ ఆర్ వెరీ హెవీ. వీ ఆర్ క్యారీయింగ్ ఎ హ్యూజ్ లోడ్ ఇన్ అవర్ హార్ట్స్. వెరీ హెవీ హార్టెడ్ పీపుల్ వీ ఆర్, ఇమోషనల్లీ హైలీ బ్రూయిజ్డ్ పీపుల్. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ వెన్ ఎవర్ గీతా సేస్ సంథింగ్ అబౌట్ మైండ్ అండ్ ధ్యానం అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్, సో ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు ఫినిష్ ఇట్ అండ్ రన్ అవే. ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు డూ దాట్. ఐ వాంట్ టు స్టే విత్ ఇట్ జస్ట్ బికాస్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు లివ్ ఇన్ ఇట్, యూ హ్యావ్ టు గెట్ సోక్డ్ ఇన్ ఇట్ రస. సో దట్ హెల్ప్స్. దట్స్ వై ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ జంపింగ్ ఫర్దర్. సో ఎనీవే నెక్స్ట్ వీక్ ఆర్ ది నెక్స్ట్ క్లాస్ ఆల్సో ఐ హ్యావ్ టు ఫినిష్ దిస్ వెర్స్. ఐ విల్ ఫినిష్ ఇట్. వేర్ ఈస్ ది హరి? ఇఫ్ ఐ హ్యావ్ టు ఫినిష్, వేర్ ఈస్ ది హరి? ఐ కెన్ ఫినిష్ ఇన్ మై టైమ్. సో భక్త్యా. సో దెర్ ఈజ్ ఎ థింగ్ కాల్డ్ భక్తి. వై భక్తి నా సడన్ వీఆర్ టాకింగ్ ఆఫ్ కామ్ అండ్ క్వైట్ మైండ్. వై భక్తి? భక్తి ఈజ్ ఇన్విటబుల్. వితౌట్ భక్తి దెర్ ఈజ్ నథింగ్. దెర్ ఈజ్ నో కర్మ, దెర్ ఈజ్ నో జ్ఞానం, దెర్ ఈజ్ నో ఉపాసన, దెర్ ఈజ్ నో సాధన, దెర్ ఈజ్ నో యోగ, దెర్ ఈజ్ నథింగ్. భక్తి ఈజ్ ది బ్రెడ్ అండ్ బటర్, ఐ టెల్ యూ. సో భక్తి, యు నో వాట్ ఈజ్ భక్తి? ది మోస్ట్ ఫండమెంటల్ డెఫినేషన్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి, ఐ టెల్ యూ. యు సీ, యు ఆర్ సచ్చిదానంద, సత్ చిత్ ఆనంద. ఆనంద ఎక్స్ప్రెసెస్ యాజ్ ఆనంద ఇస్ స్వరూప. ది ఎసెన్షియల్ నేచర్ ఈజ్ ఆనంద. ఇట్ ఎక్స్ప్రెసెస్ యాజ్ లవ్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ లైక్ సోడియం క్లోరైడ్ క్రిస్టల్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఎలక్ట్రోలైట్. సోడియం క్లోరైడ్ క్రిస్టల్ ఈజ్ అన్ ఎలక్ట్రోలైట్ హ్యావింగ్ పాజిటివ్ అండ్ నెగిటివ్ అయాన్స్ బౌండ్ టుగెదర్ ఇన్ ఎ ఫార్మ్ క్రిస్టల్ లాటిస్. దట్ ఈస్ ది సోడియం క్లోరైడ్ క్రిస్టల్. బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ పుట్ ఇట్ ఆన్ ది టంగ్, ఇట్ హ్యాజ్ ఎన్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్. దట్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ ఈజ్ ఎ పర్టికులర్ టేస్ట్. దట్ ఈజ్ ఇట్స్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్. ఓన్లీ ఆన్ ది టంగ్ ఇట్ ఈజ్ సాల్టీ. అదర్వైజ్ ఆన్ ది టేబుల్ ఇట్ హ్యాజ్ నో సాల్టీనెస్ ఇన్ ఇట్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఎ క్రిస్టల్ లాటిస్, వెరీ ఫార్మ్ క్రిస్టల్ లాటిస్ ఇట్ ఈజ్. సిమిలర్లీ ఆనంద ఈజ్ లైక్ ది క్రిస్టల్ లాటిస్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ స్వరూప, ఇట్ ఈజ్ బీయింగ్. బీయింగ్ ఈజ్ ఆనంద, బీయింగ్ ఈజ్ బ్లిస్. దట్ ఈజ్ స్వరూప. బట్ వెన్ దిస్ స్వరూప రిఫ్లెక్ట్స్ ఇన్ ది హార్ట్, హార్ట్ మీన్స్ బుద్ధి, సో వెన్ ఇట్ రిఫ్లెక్ట్స్ ఇన్ ది మైండ్, ఇట్ రిఫ్లెక్ట్స్ యాజ్ లవ్. ద డైనమిక్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ ఆఫ్ ది స్వరూప ఈజ్ లవ్. సో దేర్ ఈజ్ లవ్. లవ్ ఈజ్ ఎ రే ఆఫ్ సెంటిమెంట్ ఆర్ ఎమోషన్ ఎమనేటింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్స్ ఓన్ స్వరూప. దట్ ఈజ్ లవ్. లైక్ ఎ ఫ్లవర్, ఇట్ ఎమనేట్స్ ఫ్రాగ్రెన్స్ ఆల్ అరౌండ్. సో లవ్. నౌ దిస్ లవ్ డైరెక్టెడ్ టువర్డ్స్ ది నోన్. ఐ టెల్ యూ, ఐ ఎమ్ గివింగ్ యూ the most fundamental definition of bhakti, a philosopher's definition of bhakti I am giving. I am not saying bhakti means so do some puja, you will get some punya and that will bring you some sukha. That is one level of looking at it. But I am looking at it from a philosopher's point of view. So bhakti is, you have this flow of love coming from the heart, overflowing. Heart is overflowing with love really. You wake up, there is love started overflowing, love. Now this love, it flows towards the known, that is samsara. So what should we do now? You have to direct the flow of this love towards the unknown, that is bhakti. That means what? It is an uphill task, in the sense that the water which knows only to flow downwards, now you have to make this water to flow upwards. That is the task. That's why bhakti in any form, even a little of it, for whatever reason, in any form, is sacred. because the person, he is struggling to relate to the unknown. He may say Rama. Rama is the name he gives to the unknown. Just because he said Rama, that has not become the known. Somebody says Krishna, that has not become the known. It is still unknown only. He is the name for the unknown. And it is always an effort, an uphill task it is. It is not easy. But everybody is struggling to do it. We are struggling because this known is there all around us. We are loving it. We are running after it, after the known. And in the process, we are getting bruised emotionally. We are becoming insecure. We are becoming sad. Our lives end in conflict. The more we run after this world with love, we end up in more in conflict. This is everybody's experience. And therefore everybody, they are trying to relate to some higher thing. What happens is, human nature is like that. They give a name to it and assume that they have already known it. That is the problem. They have not known anything. Suppose you say G-O-D, God. So you have given a name to that unknown, and so you assume that you have known. That is your fertile imagination, nothing more than that. You have not known anything. You have only named the nameless, named the unknown, and this is the human weakness, that just because I have given a name, if not I, somebody else gave it and I inherited the name. Therefore, just because there is a name to it, therefore I know it. This is the human weakness. But the fact is, everybody, in whatever way they are worshipping that higher up, higher reality, they are relating to the unknown. So, this effort to negate the known, just disregard it, as if it is all worthless, even for 5 minutes, and for whatever reason, you try to relate to the unknown, that is called bhakti. That bhakti, it purifies the heart like nothing else. Bhakti purifies. Done properly, understood properly, you have to understand. Without jnanam, karma becomes mechanical and repetitive. And bhakti becomes superstitious. Doesn't serve much purpose. Serves some purpose, all right. So some sanctity is always there. So you should not denigrate anything, because sadhana is sacred. So some bhakti, it's okay, God bless. But bhakti must be, it should be higher. Bhaktya jnana vairagya yuktaya. Bhagavatam. So bhakti must be invariably associated with jnana, wisdom, understanding, a vision, and vairagya, dispassion. Without jnana and vairagya, bhakti is dumb. So that way bhakti has to be practiced. That bhakti, it purifies the mind. And then the mind now acquires an element of calmness. Achalena bhaktya. Manasa achalena bhaktya. The mind which is made calm and quiet with the help of bhakti. I will discuss this in the next class after 2 weeks. Now Sri Siddhartha has some announcement. Yeah, please come. Om Purnamada Purnam.